Catholic Radio Indy now presents Faith in Action, a program that looks at how everyday people put their faith into action in their everyday lives. Our program is underwritten in part by Franciscan St. Francis Health, providing faith-based integrated health care, a recipient of HealthGrade's 2015 America's 100 Best Hospitals Award, and by Marian University, a great Catholic university dedicated to providing students with excellence in teaching and learning in the Franciscan and liberal arts tradition, preparing transformative leaders for service to the world. And now, here's today's edition of Faith in Action. Welcome to another edition of Faith in Action here on Catholic Radio. I'm Jim Ganley. Of course, our co-host is MJ Crowder.
Jim Ganley.
You know, we've been focusing a lot of time this year so far on students and young people.
Well, you know, February has been longer this year than normal. You know, it's leap year. We got an extra day. We decided to make here at Catholic Radio the whole month of February having to do with Catholic schools.
All right. Very good.
Before we get to that, though, we have a huge event coming up March 8th and 9th.
That's going to be our share-a-thon here on Catholic Radio. We are in need of some people to help us volunteer to answer the phone. It really, really is easy. We give you a desk, we give you a phone, a pad of paper, and a pen, and when someone calls in, you get their name, address, phone number, amount of their gift. That's pretty much it. But we can't do a share-a-thon without you. We do need some volunteers. If you can help us out with that for just a couple of hours, it's going to be on the 8th and 9th. The hours are from 6:30 in the morning until 9, and from 3:30 until 6 in the afternoon, those 2 days. Don't have to be there for all the sessions. We only want the phone volunteers for like one session. So if you can spare 2.5 hours, boy, we would love to talk to you. We do need you. Our phone number, 317-870-8400.
And this kind of Faith in Action is one of my favorite, actually. We got an email, and it was suggested from a couple different people that this would be a nice spotlight or segment for Faith in Action. And after I saw it, I thought, man, this is perfect for us. We have actually with us, this is kind of like highlighting the Abe Lincoln Scholarship Awards. And to that end, we have Austin Green with us. He is a longtime Kiwanis Club and Abe Lincoln Scholarship Awards Committee member. Welcome, 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 Austin. You know, I'm going to direct all of my questions at you to begin with. Tell us a little bit, because our listeners won't be familiar. A lot of them will not be familiar with, of course, the Kiwanis Club. That sounds familiar. But the Abe Lincoln Awards, not so much. So tell us a little bit about how they got started, because I know this is this the 100th year for the Kiwanis Club?
It's the 100th year of the Downtown Club.
Yeah. Okay. So, and how long has the Abe Lincoln Scholarship been around?
The scholarship was started in 1976 by Dr. Robert Briggs, who was a prominent black physician in town who had overcome a lot of adversity growing up and thought it'd be appropriate to find a way to recognize students who had overcome similar obstacles.
Okay, 1976, you know what significance that, maybe I shouldn't say this, but I'm going to say it. Not only that was that the bicentennial, I graduated from high school that year.
You could have been a candidate.
I could have been a candidate. You know, and as I was...
What sort of criteria do you look for in this? And when a student to be considered, what do they have to do?
Well, first of all, they have to be nominated by their high school.
Oh.
We accept one application from every high school in Marion County.
Oh, now that in
public,
itself.
Private.
Okay.
And we don't always get applications depending upon what they think their needs or
sure.
student population is like.
But only one per high school.
One per high school. And in the last 3 years, we've pretty much limited it to 25 interviews. We may get, say, 27, 29, 30 applications.
Right.
And we have a committee that reviews all of them, and we have to decide which of the 25 that we're going to actually interview.
Okay.
And be involved in the program.
Now, you mentioned public and private, mm-hmm. 25, that is what you settle on. You didn't mention homeschooling. Do you ever accept homeschoolers?
No, we don't. We've tried to work out a balanced effort that we can say we're recognizing all those schools that have been accredited by the state of Indiana, and then does not put us in the position of trying to make our own analysis of one's
sure.
educational background and qualifications, et cetera,
sure.
et cetera.
Okay, so you have 25 students that really have already gone through one step of an elimination process because
through their own high school.
Through their own high school. So once they get to you, once you've got 25 names, what is the criteria or what do you go through? Do they submit an essay?
Yes, they have an application form they have to fill out that gives us all the basic data, you know, information about who they are, their birth dates, if they've taken SAT scores, those are included, if where are they in their their class rankings, where are they in various activities in the school, are they active in the community, do they do volunteer work?
Right. Okay,
et cetera.
So this is partially academic, but as I read through the criteria, it also appeared to be significantly life situations or
right.
life circumstances, which is unusual for a scholarship
right.
because usually when, I mean, I put five kids through school, and when they were applying for scholarships, the majority of them are either need-based or academic.
Right.
And this one has yet another little tweak to it, which I think is refreshing.
Right. Well, one, we make very clear we're not need-based.
Okay.
It's those to recognize those students who have encountered adversity in their lives and overcome. And on that basis, we make the decisions on what we're going to do.
Okay. And so the definition of adversity, what would you say? Give us a couple examples of winners in the past,
that,
I should say.
From the very beginning, those first years in 1976, there were three students who were awarded scholarships.
Okay.
Two were what we call physical
okay.
situations. They had cerebral palsy, muscular dystrophy, heart problems, et cetera. And one was what we call environmental. There were problems growing up in the home or other things that affected them other than a physical illness.
Okay.
So from the very beginning, that has been the process. I would say now it's almost at a 50-50.
50-50, you mean?
50% physical and 50% would be classified as environmental.
Okay. Austin Green, Kiwanis Club representative and Abe Lincoln Scholarship Awards Committee member, we're going to hear from our students, and then I have a couple more questions for you at the
okay.
end.
Okay.
We have Natalie Cunningham from Bishop Chittard High School. Welcome, Natalie.
Thank you.
Natalie, tell us a little bit about you, what parish you belong to, what side of town you live on, a little bit about your family.
So I go to Bishop Chittard High School, and it's on the north side, and I belong to St. Pius X Parish. I live with my mom and my brother and my sisters at college. My dad passed away when I was in summer going into eighth grade, and my brother would be a junior in college, and he's staying at home, and my sister is a sophomore at Purdue.
Sophomore at Purdue. Okay,
yes.
St. Pius. Now, who is the pastor? Is that Father Jim?
Yes.
Yes, mm-hmm. yes, yes. He's the one who wears, I went to...
socks and sandals.
Yeah, sandals. Socks and Birkenstocks.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember going to a communal penance service at St. Luke's over Easter or Christmas time, and he was wearing purple socks.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, he's got the best socks. Someone must keep him well socked. Okay, Natalie, tell us a little bit about your story. So how did you first find out about this Abe Lincoln Scholarship?
Well, it was kind of last minute. Everyone was stressing about, like, getting their college apps in, so I had just finished, like, all my college essays and got everything turned in. My guidance counselor called me down to the office, and she was like, oh, hey, I have this, like, packet for you to look over. Like, you don't, like, I picked you, like, I thought it applied to you, so I looked at it, and I was like, I have to write, like, a 1,000-word essay, and I had just finished all my college stuff, and I was like, no way. And I was doing like a week, and I had like no notice, but I was like, and then I read through it, and I was like, this is actually a really good opportunity.
But that's a pretty hefty essay.
Yeah, but it was pretty easy because when you're writing like from your own experiences, you can just kind of keep going.
Sure, sure. So what was kind of the focus of your essay?
Well, I would say my essay is kind of like focused on two aspects. Like the first part of my essay, I talked about growing up with like my family, like with my dad's sickness, like that affecting my family. And then the second half of my essay was kind of like my personal battle with illness. So then I kind of just like tied it together, like basically like throughout my life, what I had like b- been through.
Okay, so could you share with our listeners, or as much as you want to, or a little as much as you want to. So your dad died when you were?
Yes, I was 13.
13 years old. From a lingering disease, or?
Yes, he had cancer.
Oh, dear. Mm-hmm. Okay. 13 years old. All right.
Yes.
And then you got sick also?
2 months after my dad passed.
2 months after, and you got sick with?
I got diagnosed with Crohn's disease, which it's genetic. My dad had it as well, but he didn't die from it. It was the cancer, but I was went to like two different doctors and had like awful pain. It took a while for doctors to find out.
It does, because that's kind of insidious. Yeah. That's kind of a tricky one. It could be so many different things. Mm-hmm. Crohn's is, I well know it. It's in my family. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Crohn's. Oh, yes, but you're so young for Crohn's.
Yes, not fun.
No. But okay.
Yeah.
All right. So you wrote about those two different situations, but right after your dad died, you were diagnosed with Crohn's.
Mm-hmm.
So you had a lot going on.
Yes.
Yeah. Does Crohn's, and did they say this, can that be stress related? Do you think that was stress induced at all?
That's actually like one of our like big things. It's not like when it comes, it's not really stress related, but like
flare-ups.
You can have flares from triggers of stress.
Yeah. Yeah, which is, and you have stress your whole life.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, so yeah, just applying for college, for pity's sake, could be, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, God bless you. Okay, so you submitted the essay.
Yes.
When, back in September, October, what?
Oh, man, it was a while ago.
Okay.
Probably like November.
All right, and when did you find out that you were, that you had kind of were a finalist?
I found out that I had to go to an interview. I think it was late December, early January.
Mm-hmm.
And then we found out about the luncheon and stuff at that interview.
Which is pretty exciting.
It was really exciting. Yeah.
So for our listeners who are just now tuning in, we're chatting with Natalie Cunningham. She's Bishop Chatard High School. And she is a finalist for the Abe Lincoln Scholarship. And as of this airing, we do not know who the winners are. We have interviewed all of the kids from the local Catholic high schools. But it is being announced right at Valentine's Day, right before Valentine's Day, with a luncheon. So we're kind of all on tender hooks for you. So what are your plans? What are your future plans? What are you thinking about?
I plan on going to Purdue and studying child life, going into
Purdue.
Psychology. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Spoilers.
Okay, and studying what?
Child life.
Child life.
Yes.
Okay, so what is that? I mean, is that, that's not early... early education, like early childhood education? No.
No. So basically what a child life specialist does is they work in hospitals with kids who are like having a hard time. Basically, there's different types of child life specialists. There's music therapy, art therapy. Like the type of thing I'd want to go to is just like a basic child life specialist, just like hangs out with the kids, plays with them, makes them feel better. It's kind of like a therapist in a hospital. What I think of it as.
Oh, wonderful. Yeah. Oh, wonderful, wonderful. Okay, Purdue. It's so hard for me to say that because I did for a time have to write checks every month to Purdue.
Yes.
Considering my husband and I both IU, you know, but we ended up having three kids that graduated from IU. So, Nettie, let me ask you a question. So looking back, now you're 18 years old, looking back to the young girl many years ago who lost her father and your life changed forever, what would you say to that younger self? What would you say to yourself to comfort you? What's transpired over the last many years?
Something that actually came to my head when you say that, it's like something my mom says to me all the time, is like, when the going gets tough, you got to get tougher.
Oh, so that's like a good one.
Yeah, that's like, that came to my mind when you said that. Okay. I would just kind of keep reminding myself of that. Yeah.
Okay, so when the going gets tough, you got to get tougher.
Yep.
Oh, that's good. Oh, that's very good. Okay, Natalie Cunningham, God bless you. Bishop Chatard High School and finalist for the Abe Lincoln Scholarship. Keep being tough. Keep being tough.
Thank you.
God bless you. And thank you so much for being our guest on Faith in Action. We need to take a break and we'll be right back.
Have you ever thought about joining the Catholic Church? Have you just wanted to explore the Catholic faith? All you need to do is call your local Catholic Church for more information. We are always happy to help you in your journey to discover and learn more about the Catholic faith. We have classes that are almost year-round, and the classes and information sessions do not involve making a commitment, and there is no pressure to join. Please call your local Catholic parish for more information today and start the journey of one day possibly becoming Catholic as well. God bless.
Welcome back to Faith in Action, our guest today. First half, we chatted with Natalie Cunningham from Bishop Chittard High School. And now we have Jonathan Cardinal, just like the bird, the beautiful bird.
Exactly.
I've actually seen a few of them, right? From Roncalli High School. Welcome,
yes,
welcome, welcome.
Thank you.
And you are our last but not least, the Kiwanis Club, Abe Lincoln Scholarship finalists. Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Thank you.
Okay, so this, we understand that this was a process that you were chosen by the school. Basically, Roncalli said, we're going to give you, we've selected you from all of our students to represent our school and contend for this scholarship, correct?
That is correct. My college counselor, Mrs. Carrie Payline, came to me or requested me to enter her office, and I've never talked to her before in my life. It was my...
So it could be really bad.
Yeah,
news.
I didn't know what to expect. I knew who she was. I knew what she did for our school, but I didn't know why I was there. And she told me that all the guidance counselors, everyone came together and told me that they decided on one senior, and that was me, for this mm-hmm. scholarship. And she strongly recommended that I look into it. And I did, and I ended up applying for it, and now we're here.
It's quite an honor to get as far as both of you have, because every high school in Marion County was asked to submit one student, but then there was a kind of a culling down to, I think it's 25 is what
yeah.
they have now. So you're one of the 25 finalists in this great competition. So
you know what's kind of interesting to me is, really, through no effort on your own, additional effort, you were just living your life and doing what you do, and you were kind of picked out. And the school recognized both of you, basically saying, this is something that I think you qualify for and you should pursue. So really, it wasn't a competition where you guys were vying for it at all. It was, we think that this is something that you qualify for.
Exactly, and that was a great honor.
Great honor. And you know, but it fell to your shoulders to write a 1,000-word essay, and I don't know how many pages that is, but that's a few pages. But as Natalie said earlier, when you're writing about yourself and your life circumstance, maybe that made it a little bit easier.
That is, and I had a research paper for my English class over what I wanted to be, like, what do you want to be when you grow up? And that... probably a third of that paper ended up going into that essay
good.
As well. So it made it much easier on my behalf. I only had to come up with a few extra paragraphs.
Okay, so tell us, Jonathan, a little bit about you. Why do you think that you were chosen from Roncalli? What were your special life circumstances?
After the loss of a parent, autism in the family, and just a loose family now, a loose family support system, it gets rough at times, but at the same time, you just have to keep going, and my people around me noticed that, and it got through to someone to where I was nominated for the scholarship.
Okay, so you say you lost a parent.
I lost my father when I was in seventh grade.
Oh, dear. Okay. All right. Well, that's tough. I mean, that's really tough. I can't imagine that. I mean, that's something that stays with you forever.
It will.
And you know, you'll have memories forever, but I don't have any words to say. But you wrote about it, and how did you present it on paper? I mean, did you talk about the manner in which he died, or was
I did. Okay. I went into great detail, mostly about, I was also the product of it, like a divorce. Like my parents were going through a divorce at the time, and so I spent the entire summer of 2010 with my father, and we got really close, bonded more than ever. He was my best friend, my rock. And then everything started to change, and all of a sudden, next thing you know, you losing a parent to suicide is no easy matter.
No.
Nor finding them, that makes it even harder.
And you were the one who found him.
I was. Me and my sister found him.
Oh dear. Okay. Yeah, that's life-altering. I mean, that in itself. And you said that you have autism in your family.
I do. My little brother has autism.
Yeah. Yeah, I that's something that you hear more and more and more. I often wonder, this isn't the time to talk about it, but I wonder how much, you know, we hear so much more about it, and it's been become more prevalent in the last few years. You got to wonder if it is an environmental or something we're eating or something.
It has. I don't really know any statistics or anything, but I have, before I moved up to Indy, I didn't hear anything about it. My little brother's the only one I knew. Now it seems I know a lot more people who have it, or know someone who knows someone who has it.
Sure. Okay, so it's the two of you?
Yes.
You and your brother, okay.
That live with my mom. I have an older brother and an older sister that are both out of the house.
Okay. All right, so the two of you. So what parish did you say you belong? I didn't know if I asked.
I belong to St. Mary's Catholic Church in Jennings County.
Jennings County? Mm-hmm. Where is Jennings
County? North Vernon.
Oh, okay.
Yes,
all
ma'am.
Right. I was going to say, because there's a St. Mary's downtown.
No, that's a different one. It's a common misconception. I often get referred to that one, but no.
Okay, all right. All right, so what do you, let's talk a little bit about your future plans, because a scholarship of this magnitude is certainly will defray a lot of college expenses. So what are you thinking about? I'm just going to guess that it's not Purdue by the way you scrunched up face.
It is not Purdue at all. I'm sorry. But
when Natalie mentioned that, the look on your face was
classic. It was disgusting. Both my parents went to IU as well, so you can only imagine the distaste I have for Purdue.
Yeah, and he's, listeners, if this was visual right now, if it's TV, he's definitely wearing red and white. There is no yellow and no gold on him today. Okay, so where do you think college-wise?
I've been accepted to UIndy, the University of Indianapolis.
Yeah.
And I'm going to pursue business management, business accounting, and a minor in marketing.
Ooh, that's like a triple header. That's wonderful.
Yeah. But I'm going to work with that. I'm going to get my CPA, my certified public accounting license. I'm going to do that for a while. But then after about 10, 15 years, I'm probably around 30 to 35, I'm going to open my own taekwondo school.
Oh, boy. Well, yes. It looks like you kind of, you have something athletic on you. It doesn't look like taekwondo.
Oh, it's
maybe
wrong
skiing.
Collie. It's for skiing.
Okay, skiing. Okay, ski club. Okay, so is that something that you like to do now?
Yes, I'm a certified third-degree black belt working on my master's degree, my fourth degree.
So if I came at you, you could, do you think you could
I would be confident in my ability. I'm not worried about that. No. But I've been studying for 10 years, and I love it. It's my passion, and I want to pass it on to other people.
Really?
Yes, I have a strong passion for it, and what I've learned from taekwondo is unparalleled in life.
Okay, so give us a little, a 30 second here. What's the difference between taekwondo, I only know that from the, and judo and karate. So what's the biggest difference?
Well, taekwondo is mostly, it's with your feet. It's more using your feet to kick, and you use your arms too, but not nearly as much. Karate is more Chinese-based, mine's Korean-based, and as far as judo's more grappling. That's where I like, kind of like wrestling.
Okay.
So mine's more standing up and fighting or sparring.
Oh, with the feet. With the feet. Okay,
and then
I got
judo's grappling, and karate's more just hands.
Jim, did you know that?
I didn't know that. I was going to ask where Krav Maga fits in there.
That's Israeli.
How do you know what Krav... What? Say that again.
That's a form of martial arts as well, I guess.
Very tough. It's what I do know a little bit about. It's just what Israel's army uses. That's what they train with.
Oh. Jim Ganley, you surprised me all the time. You pulled that out of your hat. I thought he was mispronouncing something incorrectly.
No, he was spot on.
Spot on. Okay, if you're just now tuning in, Jonathan Cardinal from Roncalli High School, and he is a finalist for the Abe Lincoln Scholarship. I cannot wait to find out who won, as I'm sure you guys are, and we will know by the time this airs, we'll know. So God bless you both, and thank you so much for coming to Catholic Radio, and
best wishes.
Okay, let me reintroduce Austin Green. He's a longtime Kiwanis Club member and Abe Lincoln Scholarship Awards Committee. Let me ask you just another question. The 25 applicants that you get and essays that they have written, how long does this process take? Because I imagine that this is excruciatingly difficult. Looking at the life situations and presented to you, that has to be incredibly emotional. I'm imagining so. How long does the process take in finalizing who the winner is?
Well, first of all, everybody gets the application from all the students by a certain date in early December.
Okay.
And then that's our holiday reading. You have all these applications to read through.
Okay.
There are not only the application, there are references from faculty or other people that may know the student. We'll have medical evaluations in the case of where somebody has a medical condition.
Oh, my.
So that tells us something about it from a doctor at Riley Hospital.
Sure.
It's a long-term process, and then we have one day we schedule in January for the interviews, and we do them all at one time.
And this is $40,000 you're awarding. So this right. is to supposedly to be used for college, right? Okay.
The other thing that we like to stress is there's something called the Circle of Valor. And from the very first event in 1976, the committee who were looking at the applications, there were like seven applications, and they had to pick three. They were so upset that they had to pick three that they created what we call the Circle of Valor. So every student who is nominated becomes a member of our Circle of Valor. And if you attend the luncheon, you will find that before we do the awards, everybody who has been nominated is presented a Circle of Valor plaque and is always recognized in our files as a winner, as somebody who has overcome something.
Wow. Now, what about next year? Someone listening to this program maybe has a family member, next-door neighbor, niece, nephew that sounds like they should be involved in this. How does someone become involved for next year?
They need to talk to their school counselors and the people who make those decisions.
Okay.
We have no choice and who is sent to us. We take each one as it comes.
But I think the interesting thing to point out is it's not need-based.
No, it's not need-based.
And this is significant and unique because of the criteria, meaning some overcoming some life situations, actually.
Right. And they are, you have to be there to understand what we're talking about.
Sure.
In the scope of what people have encountered and what they overcome and still manage to be very positive about life, and they may be working 20, 30 hours a week and have
sure.
a broken home, or they may have umpteen cancer radiation treatments.
Sure.
They just commit themselves to do something.
The endurance of the human spirit.
Right.
God bless you. And thank you so much for being our guest today. Austin Green, longtime Kiwanis Club, Abe Lincoln Scholarship Awards Committee. Thank you so much for visiting Catholic Radio today.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Faith in Action, underwritten in part by Marian University and by Franciscan St. Francis Health. If you'd like to suggest a guest or a topic for a future program, call us at 317-870-8400 or email mj@catholicradioindy.org. And remember, you can hear or download this program or any Faith in Action program 24/7 at CatholicRadioIndy.org. Just click on the Programming tab and select Podcasts.